Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Shame on a few of you. At the Fort Wayne Seminary, at least, we were required to memorize that hymn. And I saw you looking at the book. We should have it memorized. It's such an important one. And the reason we learned it was not because it was in liturgics class or hymnody class. We learned it in early church history, because the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ is so central to the Christian faith and central to all of the arguments of the early church. And that's what you have in that great Advent hymn. Yes, it talks about the manger near the end, but most of it is about our Lord's entrance into the womb of Mary, which is today's text for Ember Wednesday. First of all, it starts out in the sixth month. And that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The church year kind of imitates this because in March we observe the Annunciation. 3 months later is the birth of John the Baptist, just one day before on the 24th. So he comes to her and he gives an announcement. And this announcement is very important. I think you can see the different ways that this text and this event is understood by what this announcement is translated as. If it's translated as we have it, which is a fine translation, "Greetings, O favored one," it shows that the Lord is the one bestowing his grace and favor on Mary. We see her as a nobody. She's not even married yet. Why should God come to her? Well, he comes to bestow his favor, as he always does. That's quite a different thing from the other translation that we often hear, that Mary is full of grace. It doesn't follow well from the Greek text. And it comes with lots of trouble, that maybe this is something in her that cooperates with God, that finishes the deal, or almost as if God and the whole universe are hanging on Mary's response to this moment. How is she going to answer? And if she answers correctly, then I suppose we'll go through with salvation. No, not at all. The Lord comes as the actor. He comes and gives his word, his grace. From that, it springs up naturally. That's exactly what we have in the psalm that we sang today again. So he comes and he addresses her. "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And she's troubled at the saying. This is just what we heard yesterday too, right? The visitations of our Lord come with a slight pause. It matters a great deal if he comes for grace or if he comes for judgment. But the angel's already said this. He's come for grace. So she only has to figure out why there's a fearsome soldier of the Lord who's come to announce it. But as angels always do in the scriptures, when they announce a gracious message, they tell her not to be afraid. Fear not, Mary. You found favor with God. He's bestowed this upon you. And behold, here is a message for you that you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. We have a fine explanation of this in the hymn that we just sang. We also have this for us in the Creed, that we don't just jump straight to Christmas when we talk about the Incarnation, but we acknowledge that just as for 6 months John had been growing in the womb, so for 9 months now, our Lord will be growing and gestating in Mary's womb. At this fact, the church fathers, all Christians, Luther, Ambrose, even us today, we are astounded at this fact, at this strangeness, that the one who creates the world, the one who made all wombs, the one who has made everything, can be contained, can be present in Mary's womb. But this is the Lord's work. As the angel says at the end, nothing is impossible with God. The angel goes on to explain, of course, all these wonderful titles about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Slightly different promise than just entering into the promised land. But it says here that he will have the throne of his father David. And it says this even before we've established with Mary's question that this isn't going to be Joseph's son in any way. I think this puts to rest the questions that sometimes come from the genealogies of whether or not this child really can be considered David's son if it's Mary's child alone. The angel is not confused. God himself says it from the beginning. We have Mary's question, how can this be since I'm a virgin? It's timely that we hear this on Wednesday after Sunday's text, which at least in the old pink candle lectionary, is John's question brought by his disciples. Many of you know the great debate on whether John is really questioning it all or setting his disciples up to hear from Jesus' mouth what he's been preaching all along. For my part, I don't see a great difference in this distinction, because John, if he were doubting, would always go to the Lord's word to find an answer and to be encouraged. Likewise, those who believe never depart from the Lord's word. Here, Mary answers and asks in a quite simple way to hear the Lord's word, and the angel goes on to deliver it. What he says is very important. It says that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. The word that is used for the temple when the cloud of God's glory comes to rest so that he can be gracious to his people. This also is echoed in our hymn when we say, in her womb this truth is shown that God himself is there upon the throne. There's no need to make too much of Mary. Sometimes that can happen. But it must be said that she is nothing less than the Mother of God. If we would deny this, we would deny who it is who is in her womb. The greater miracle is now happening. Yes, for 6 months, a barren woman has now become the home of a child at last. But here is someone who is born without a father at all. That's how John is always the forerunner, by being the lesser one for the greater who is to come. And so the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. All of it rests on the word of God. We can go back to creation and see that God's word does it. We can go to salvation and see that it is the Lord who bestows his grace upon us. We see in the incarnation that he accomplishes it entirely, that when his word says something, faith believes it. So likewise, in the Lord's Supper, when we ask this question of how the body and blood of Christ could truly be eaten and drunk in bread and wine, we say with Mary, let it be to us according to his word. How can we doubt this? Is any of these miracles of God more amazing or impossible? And yet all of them hold together. Finally, we have Mary's word in this matter. Behold, I am the handmaiden or servant of the Lord, from which comes all of our prayers and language in the church about being servants of God. And this moment we know is important because Jesus himself brings it up later. When somebody comes to Mary, or comes to Jesus and talks about his mother and said, blessed is the womb that bore you, Jesus, and the breasts which nursed you, Jesus. Jesus says, yeah, that's right. But why? Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. So Elizabeth will say this as we hear later this week. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. This, then, is how Mary is an example to the whole church. She believes what God says. By it, Christ is born in her. So let us likewise believe his word and never doubt it, for with it comes his grace, that he favors us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.